When you look at the valley, when you look at the sky, when you look at the sea, you must cover it immediately. You must go in. It is a very important sense in our body. The ego mind is a contraction. The whole mind has no borders. That is not an intellectual interpretation, that is really a feeling. In a certain way, we can say only. All is feeling.
During the body work this morning, I had a peculiar sensation of dizziness, like I'm going to faint.
Of dizziness.
And nausea.
Yes, nausea, yes. It may be that you have undertaken a certain position in your body which is located with your liver. It is the pressure of your liver which brought you to this dizziness. This dizziness was located where? Yes.
It means
yes. It may touch the point of the lever in your back, it may be. We should avoid for some time butter and cheese and fat, sugar. And you will become right, the liver will become right. But to explore really your body, we don't emphasize so much what you explore. It is the way how you explore it. I beg your pardon.
Don't emphasize what you explore, it's the way you explore it.
We take notes sometimes in our body and immediately we conceptualize it. It brings you nowhere. The same way when you observe the waves and you go in with the waves, or you go in with the clouds, or when you sink seats very deep, you go in. Become completely one with the object. us, there's a passiva. Something is perceived. If the perceiver frees itself from its own movements, inner and outer movements, then it is a pure perceiving. But in the world, in the body work, don't try to clean your perceiver, clean the perceiving, but try to become more and more familiar with the perceived. And you will see the outer and inner movement of the perceiver goes away. You don't use them anymore. They have no any role to play. You go in completely in the perceived. And there's a moment that the perceiver and the perceived, it comes to a kind of conversion. There's not more perceiver than something perceived. There's only being presence. When the body work is well done, you come out completely alert. You have the feeling of an attention, of a multidimensional attention. You're not more fixed, you're not more concentrated, you're not more, you're everywhere. Yes, yes.
But that, for me, has been related with samadhi. A kind of absorption into the object. So what you're describing, I thought was different from that. Because you can become so enraptured with whatever it is that you just...
There's only one with the perception. The perceiver becomes one with the perceived. And as the object has all its existence in the subject. It is the subject which gives life or existence to the object. Otherwise, there's a fusion. You call it samadhi. I will not go in what you mean exactly, samadhi.
It is an absorption. You mean. It's not a fusion of the two. Mm-hmm.
But still, observe, there is still a subject-object relationship in samadhi, yes. In the traditional understanding of samadhi, there is still subject-object relationship. It is really in the sahaja state, the ultimate state, that you are completely not more bound to any subject-object relationship. It is still a state in which we come in and out. In the sahaja state, you are completely alert at life. All your doings and existing appears. You're not involved in it. You're completely, it is in you, but you're not in them. Yes.
You've spoken many times before about bringing the heard back to the hearing.
Yes.
Which strikes me as not quite the same as becoming one with the object.
It is a different approach. Yes, yes.
The reason I ask that is because it seems to me there's only one thing that really moves me, if I'm honest now, that really touches me, and that's a kind of hunger for a silence that I sometimes experience.
Yes.
But it's a kind of, it's an experience, and perhaps it's an object because of that, but it's a kind of that calls me more and more often, and yet I still experience it through the body sensation in a way. So the body sensation somehow mirrors that silence. The sensation becomes much more relaxed and much quieter. And it's as though I can hear, almost as though I hear the silence. It doesn't make sense.
But
the natural inclination to want to fall into that, so to speak, to be one with that.
But the body is included in this quietness. In deep sleep, the body is included in this felicity. But brings this listening, brings the scene back to the seeing, it is the absolutely direct approach. Bring the heart back to the hearing. Because hearing, listening, is the functional aspect of consciousness. It is consciousness. It is the nearest to consciousness. Hearing or the seeing, you can never objectify it. I think to bring the seeing back to the seeing gives the seeing its real character, its real meaning. The seeing, the silence of which Pika speaks, sometimes it is the silence of which we are speaking. But silence, something is also the silence which you can still objectify. In its saying, it is not really clarified. The two way of silence. The two ways of silence. But it's certainly the most beautiful book concerning the silence. I agree. This book has been published in Switzerland, I think, 15 or 20 years ago. It was a publisher from Zurich, and then recently it has been translated, taken by an American publisher from New York. He brought it to us. It is so now. In English?
In English.
I don't know. Because the new edition is very recently.
Yeah. So John, what I wanted to ask is not about the book at all, because the book, that's, but the experience, what I want to understand is something about it called me many times during the day now. Yet it's not an experience
is still an experiencer in it. But it may be that you bring it back to an experiencer. You must not bring it back to an experiencer. It must be a non-experience.
How do you do that?
Try to make, don't make it objective. Loss, when it appears as an object, go completely in also. That brings you to the non-experience. Let us share 7.
Okay. you talked about covering.
I talk about?
Covering what you see. Like
yes,
covering
yes,
the sky.
Yes, yes.
Your feeling. And then you also talked about seeing how things act on you or letting things come to you. Are those two different things or the same way of perceiving?
When you take possession of the space around you, it modified certain body feeling, body sensation. And when you look at this body sensation, they are completely different. They are different pattern. The generally pattern is we feel ourselves in a body, a certain frontier, and suddenly we are still in this feeling, a kind of compression, kind of a lack of open the cage. In this way we can say there's a difference. When you look at back after experienced the space feeling and you come back to your body, there's some other sensation. That is absolutely sure. It is the same way how this seeing has acts on your physical body. So in a certain way, it may be the same.
So when I let something act on me, what's actually happening is the body is sort of dissolving and the feeling is expanding.
Yes.
And there's also, my second question was, does space actually go away? I mean, does space actually contract in some way or something different happens with space when there's the union?
Yes, but when you say bring the seeing back to the seen, in this case, the perception, the conception is completely eliminated. You feel yourself seeing, but you can never objectify it. The pure seeing is localized nowhere, but still, it is the nearest.
And there isn't the desire to try to describe it or talk about it is really gone.
Yes.
It doesn't exist.
Yes. And this pure perception, you are free from psychological space. Because the space between perceiving and conceiving is psychological space. We project our personality, our self-image in it. But in daily life, this recall is very important. Coming back to our totality, coming back to our intrinsic nature. We are solicited by it several times in a day. It is not an act of volition to come to it. It is, I think we are finding ourselves in certain moments in daily life and allowing it to come to us. Because we can never go to it. We can only allow it to come to us. No? Then it becomes a kind of background in every activity. That is important.
Still struggling with covering the sky. Are you using light? How are you covering it?
In the night.
Light?
Light.
How, when you talk about covering the sky,
yes.
Covering the sea, yeah, yes. What are you using to cover? Is it light or energy?
You may be stimulated in many ways. It can be only the light, it can also be the energy. When you look at the sky, when you look at the ocean, when you cover the ocean, When you see the ocean as a mass of blue, the blue will act in you. Because the blue has not only a physical aspect, it has also a psychological aspect. But generally, when you cover the sky, the sea, the valley, different colors, it acts on you. There are also many things which takes you. For example, the television takes you. The picture house takes you. The very artistic, beautiful invention, the picture. But still it takes you. It takes excitement, energy. It is important that you see in which way your surroundings act on you. When you see a landscape completely unfurnished, like here, certain way, it acts in a certain way on you. Or when it is very furnished. Or when it is very furnished on the right side, it is open completely on the left side, and you look at it. It acts different way. Or when it is furnished completely on the left side and open on the right side, it acts in a different way. Thank you.